of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So, how many knows that Jesus was born of a virgin? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he came forth. So today, in a brief overview, spiritually here this morning, let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. Everybody say afraid. They were greatly afraid. The emphasis there, there was a lot of fear in the camp of those shepherds that night. And rightly so, because if there were lights that illuminated the hillside where they were, and you heard voices from beings that are not of this earth crying out to you, then listen, I think that we would all be afraid. So the Bible says, the angel of the Lord said to them, this is what I want you to get a hold of this morning, please. Do not be afraid. Can anybody say that with me? Do not be afraid. For behold, everybody say behold. In other words, listen to what I'm going to say to you right now. Highlight it. Emphasize it. Listen to what I'm about to say to you right now. This is an important, powerful thing. And this is where I'll ask you to sit down. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Everybody say all people. Not some of you, but everybody. This is good news for everybody. His word is like good news. It's like a drink of water to a man that's dying in the desert from thirst. It's like that news to us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. I had a bottle of water, but all those gifts and those presents that were taken away, my water was confiscated. It went somewhere, and I do not know where. But that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm not going to minister very long this morning. So everybody say good news. When I said earlier that I get sick and tired of bad news, this past week, we visually experienced in this nation horrendous assault against this nation, against the freedoms of this nation. 14 people and lost their lives, and 20-some people were injured by an assault by a radical group upon an event and left 14 people dead and 20-some injured. It's horrible. They said it's the worst thing that's happened since 9/11. And we were there in 9/11. And so the thing that concerns me today is this, that everywhere I look today, not just because of events like that, the Bible said in the last day men's hearts would fail them because of fear. There's fear everywhere. Fear thickens the atmosphere where we are. It motivates the lives of many people today. People do many things, and a lot of things that people do is because they're afraid. They're fearful of something. Thank you. Thank you, Gail. Dale. Thank you, brother. So people are afraid. Everywhere you look, there's fear. When I walk into the supermarket, there is an agitation in the atmosphere. When I drive down the road in my automobile, you can tell there's an agitation. There is a spirit of fear that predominates the atmosphere in which we live in. Fear is gripping the lives of people's hearts. It's everywhere. There's fear, great fear upon the land, great fear in the lives of people. People are motivated by fear today. And I'm reminded what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many knows that fear doesn't come from the Lord? Not that kind of fear. Oh, I know that somebody says, well, we need to have a fear of the Lord. Yes, we need to have a reverence and a respect and an admiration for God. And that prompts us to be that type of fearful, but not fearful that the Lord is going to destroy our life. But the fact is that there are people today that are motivated and compelled by fear. And so you got to understand here for just a moment, the atmosphere, you got to understand the times that this news came to this group of shepherds. Because there was great fear. There was great fear in the land that was known of Nazareth and Bethlehem and Judea and all that area around there, because the Roman Empire and the Roman government ruled. They dictated this nation, and they had procurators and governors, and there was great persecution. They heavily taxed the people of that area. People's hearts were gripped by fear. So this was a time of darkness. Jesus came to the earth in a time of darkness. Jesus pierced the atmosphere of this earth in a great time of darkness. This news was given to these shepherds out there on the hillside of Judea, of Bethlehem. Listen, this news came in a time of great darkness. Great darkness. But I'm here today to tell you, even among the darkness, even amidst the darkness that we live in, there's still a light that shines. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. I said, even in the midst of darkness, there's a great light that shines. Do you not know that? There is dark, there is light in the midst of our darkness. And Jesus is that light. Jesus is that light that penetrates the darkness. Jesus is that light that shines forth. Jesus is that light that came and shone into the hearts of men and revealed our sin and our iniquity and our darkness. And because of that, today we've received a great light. Now those who were blind and lived in darkness see a great light, and that light has come upon you. Isaiah 60 says, for his light has come upon you. Arise and shine, for your light has come. How many knows there's a reason to have joy? Jesus is the reason for joy, friend. This season is about Jesus. It's not about you. I'm going to hurt some feelings here. It's not about Santa Claus. Nothing against Santa Claus. I heard he say last week, nothing about the jolly old elf. There's nothing wrong, and I'm not gonna preach him down, and I'm not gonna, you know, be a bearer of bad news and say Santa Claus and the reindeer are all bad dudes. I'm not saying that this morning, but I'm saying Jesus is this reason for this season. Jesus is the reason we rejoice today. Jesus is the reason I have peace. Jesus is the reason I have joy. Jesus is the reason that I don't have to be afraid today. Amen. So you got to understand, these are dark, perilous times. These are times that try men's souls. These are dark times. Jesus came to earth, born of a woman, during a time of great darkness. And then we have the promise, Jesus came. So real quickly here, this good news that I share, and by the way, in the Greek, the word for good news is gospel. This is the gospel of joy today, the gospel of good. This is the good news. That's what the word gospel means, the good news. This is the good news. The good news is, and I heard Travis say one time, preaching in this pulpit, remember Brother Travis Sturgill? The good news that the bad news is wrong. How many knows that Jesus is the good news? And if Jesus lives in your heart, guess what you have? You have the good news. So we have an opportunity to shine forth into the darkness. We don't have to be like the world that presses in around us. We don't have to cave in to the slavery of darkness. We don't have to bow. We don't have to bow to the exploits of all this dictatorship and all this these things that go on, terrorism. We don't have to be, swayed and moved by that. Bad news has always been around. There's always been problems ever since the beginning of time. But the good news is that Jesus came. Everybody said Jesus came. So let me share with you real quickly why we have the good news and why we can rejoice and why we can have joy this morning. Because Jesus came. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He came forth in the midst of darkness, and he was that great light that shined among us and gave us hope and gave us peace and gave us joy. So this morning, we have something to truly celebrate about Christmas this morning. We have a real reason to celebrate the birth of a Savior. Jesus came. Do you not understand that? Has it been so long that we forgot that it's really about Jesus, not about deer dancing on the roof and an elf coming down the chimney? How many knows there's a reason that you can rejoice and be glad today? Even though you've got problems going on in your life, even though the world is pressing in around you, even though you've got bills that need to be paid, even though you've got sickness and trouble and problems in this world you live in, even though your kids may be on drugs, even though you may have a problem, you have things that you're looking at, you may have things that you're struggling with, may I remind you, the good news came. Jesus came. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He came to give us hope and life because Jesus lives. This is what I pray the Holy Ghost does. God takes a big, huge poker, heaven's poker, and he shoves it there inside of those embers and those coals that were once ignited with the fire and the flame of the Holy Ghost, and that the Lord himself stir you up. How many know sometimes you got to get stirred up? Said, stir up. Paul said to the young preacher Timothy, listen, he said, stir up the gift that's in you. Well, sometimes you got to get stirred up. There's people around us every day that need that good news. They need hope. They need life. And you're the ambassadors of that life. You're the ambassadors of that hope. Listen, if you act like the world around you, don't expect to make a difference. If you get caught up in the gossip gang, you get caught up in bashing people, you get caught up in hating people, you get caught up in all this stuff, don't expect anybody to find hope and light in that. So in the midst of the darkness, you got to be the light. Jesus said, be the light as I am the light. Be the light. He says, I've gone away, but now you're going to be the light. You got to give the hope. You got to bring the good news. You got to be the ones that people look to and say, yes, there's life, there's hope, there's peace, there's joy, all of those in the Lord. So the reason why we have good news this morning, the reason why is because Jesus came. Everybody say, Jesus came. And Jesus lived. Oh, I'm not finished yet. You got to wait. You got to hang on a minute. Everybody say, Regan, hang on. You know how people know he lives? Because he's walking up and down inside of you. He's not some statue that's hung on a cross somewhere. Jesus is no longer on a cross. He came down from the cross. He was buried in the dirt. And on the third day, he got up from the dirt. Amen. And he's living inside of you. Jesus lives. Everybody say, lives. I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve a dead God. My God's not dead. He's a living. He's living. He's alive. How you know he's living? He's alive because he's living inside of me. Oh, some of you need stirred up. Turn to somebody and say, stir it up. We need an agitation of the Holy Ghost. Our young sister here, her father's a pastor. Well, so I'm trying to get the good news across to you that Jesus came. He was born and he lived. And yes, he is living. But Jesus lived among men. He made a difference in the lives that he walked among. He made a difference. One man impacted the universe. One man came and everything changed. One man lived and everything changed. I can rejoice because one man came. I can rejoice because one man lives. I can rejoice. I've got good news to tell you. Quit piping your life full of CNN and Fox every day and get your life on the good news. You got a Bible? This is the best news you ever heard. You got a Bible? How many got a Bible? Got it with you? Ooh, I heard a lot of no's. The good news is he came. Oh, he came, Roman. He lived, Odie. He lived here among us. He lived. He was a man who stood out among his times. He was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. He was stricken by men. He lived here among us. He lived among us. He poured into 12 men and many others. He loved these men. He poured into their lives. Everywhere he went, he touched and he affected humanity with his powerful love, his uniqueness. Jesus was born that night. And that's what the Lord, the news that came from heaven was. This is the news that came from heaven that night. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, a deliverer. Amen, a deliverer. A deliverer. Some of you in this room need deliverance today. You need deliverance from pornography and sexual sins and lust. You need deliverance from drugs and alcohol. You need deliverance from depression and oppression. You need deliverance. How many knows that we live in dark times? We live in a time where men need great deliverance. Well, let me tell you, there's a great God who is able, say he's able, to deliver me. So Jesus came and he lived. And Jesus died. Well, what good news is there about that? What good news is about that? When those he loved were separated from him, as Jesus went to the cross and he died on the cross. Jesus died. Everybody hang on just a minute. Jesus came and he lived, and then he gave his life a ransom for many. Jesus came and he gave his life for many. Jesus gave his life for you. He became sin for you, saying the good news is you don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to die because of your sin. I'll be the substitute for your sin. I'll be the propitiation between you and God. I'll be the go-between. I'll be the one that stands between you and a holy God, because no man can be justified in his own way, in his own life, before a holy God. We needed a sacrifice. We needed someone to go before us, someone to stand between us and a holy Father. So Jesus died. That's why he died. Some people believe that Jesus died on the cross. We've seen all the movies. We've seen all the Hollywood movies. We've seen all the Lifetime movies. We've seen all the, Hallmark movies. We've seen all the movies. We've seen all the Christian movies. Jesus died. Yes, I saw it on a movie. I saw it on a movie. But knowing that Jesus died, it's got to be something more than you seeing it on a movie. It's got to be something more than you seeing it somewhere on a movie. The fact is that Jesus died. You've got to accept that sacrifice for your own sins and receive him and receive his payment for the penalty of your sin. Jesus came, he lived, and he died for our sins. Personally, he died for my sin. Hold your right hand up. Say, he died for my sin. Wow. Think about that, Grant. He died for your sin. He came, he lived, he died. He died. And for those hours that he gave himself as a sacrifice upon a cross, leading him away, they didn't take his life. He gave his life. Jesus said, no man could take my life. No man could take God's life or could take God's life. No man could do that. But Jesus willingly gave his life a ransom for many. Jesus came and he became the sacrifice for us, for the payment of our sin. And upon him was laid the iniquity of us all. He died for your addiction. Do you not know that? He died for your struggle. He died for your alcohol. He died for your oppression. He died for the slavery of your sin. Jesus came, he lived, and he died. He gave his life. He laid down his life freely. Looking down from a cross, he said, Father, they don't know what they're doing to me. Forgive them. They don't know what he did. Listen, anybody would die for a good man, maybe. But think about this. Jesus died for those who mocked him, rejected him, and despised him. Jesus didn't die for just real nice folk. Jesus didn't die for all the nice, friendly, religious folk. Jesus died for the lost. And he came to save that which was lost. So hang with me. Say with me. Jesus came. He lived. And he died. He gave up the ghost. Father, he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. They took his body that was beaten and bruised and battered and pierced down from that cross. And only a few ministered to him at the cross. And they took him to a tomb he didn't even own. And they put him in the dirt. And Jesus said to those he loved, he said, this temple will be torn down. And to the religious group, it agitated. It made them furious because He wasn't speaking of the natural temple that Jerusalem or Israel worshiped in, but he was talking about the temple of his own body. He said, this temple will be torn down in 3 days. It's going to get back up again. I'll raise it back up again. Listen, if Jesus had only died and put in the dirt and that been the end, all we would have had today is just a remembrance of a martyr that had gone on before us. Someone to inspire us. So Jesus died. And he was buried. Say buried. This is your and my hope. This is our hope today, Will. That's why we were... Listen, preached among the dead last night who physically died and gone on and outstripped us. Those who lay in tombs and those who laid in the earth and the dirt. Those who had gone on before us died with that hope. Jesus is that hope. Jesus is that hope. Everybody say, Jesus is the hope. He's my hope. We've been begotten by a lively hope, friend, not a dead hope. We've been begotten by a lively hope. Jesus was put in the dirt for 3 days. And they put a stone over his grave. Jesus came. He was born. Jesus lived among us and among those. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. And the earth. Now the difference between the God that I worship and serve this morning and the gods of other religions around the earth, because the God that they worship is still in the dirt or he doesn't even exist. But the God that I serve and the God that you love and the God that you worship and the God that gets you up every morning and the God that graces you with grace every day. And the God that goes with you and never leaves you nor forsakes you. The God that you pray to and seek his faith on behalf of your children and your loved ones. That God, on that third and appointed morning, a great light pierced the darkness. Lord, there are people's spirits that need to be awakened here this day. They've been lullabied by the devil. They've been lullabied by the things of this world. They've been lullabied by a lack of hope. And today, their spirit needs to soar. Their spirit needs to be awakened, Lord. Just like that third and appointed morning, Jesus wasn't dead. He was asleep. And that's what Jesus told those at the graveside of Lazarus. He's not dead. He's just sleeping. And reminded the sister of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. God, we need a great resurrection today of hope. We need a resurrection of life. I can rejoice today, not because of sleigh bells ringing, not because of reindeer prancing. I can enjoy this season, not because of those things. And to be honest with you, the older I get, the less attached I am to those things. I love my kids. I want them to have, and I want them to have. But listen, there's a lot more. Whoa, everybody say a lot more. There's a lot more to Christmas than trees and decorations and packages. A lot of the world don't experience that type of Christmas today. But today, God wants you to really know the good news today. Jesus came. He lived. He died. And he was buried. And on the third day, everybody say the third day. We're getting ready to close. You're hanging on? On the third day, a light penetrated the darkness. And the angels of God rolled the stone back. And a great quake pierced the earth. And even those that are around, listen, knew something happened. That stone was rolled away. Listen, God awakened his son. He got up from the dirt. Jesus, on the third day, got up from the dirt. You know why one day that death will have no more dominion over you and power over your life? It's because Jesus got up from the dirt. You're going to get up also. Amen. I've got a mom I'm going to meet in the air. Hallelujah. I've got a dad I'm going to meet in the air. I've got a sister I'm going to meet in the air. I've got loved ones that I'm going to meet in the air. But you know what? I'm going to meet Jesus in the air. Because one day, he's going to descend. And with a great shout, the archangel with a trump of God shall sound. Oh, a sound we've never heard before. A sound we've not heard before. A sound we've not heard before. And we may, our bodies may be scattered from east to west, north to south. We may be buried in the sea somewhere. There may be nothing but, listen, dust. There may not be anything left in remaining of our physical stature. But when Jesus comes, he's going to bring with him the spirits of those that departed and left before us, who left in the Lord. And when he comes, he's going to bring those spirits with him. And something's going to happen in the earth when that trumpet blows. Because everybody that's died in the Lord will hear that sound. Everybody's going to hear that sound. Everybody say sound. Because that sound is going to pierce the graves and the darkness of that grave. And that body is going to get up. Every atom, every particle, every molecule will come together in the name of the Lord. And it will be changed. And in a moment, and in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be caught up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And those that are alive and remaining upon this earth, you and I may see that. We'll be caught up together. And we will reunite with our loved ones. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know why that's good news? Because Jesus raised from the dead, my friend. Everybody say, raised from the dead. Jesus got up. So say with me, Jesus came. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus raised from the dead. Say with me, Jesus is coming again. That's the hope of the gospel. That is the gospel. And Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. That's the gospel. Not the gossip. That's the gospel. That's the greatest truth you will ever hear, my friend. And there are people today, thousands of years later, who are responding to that gospel. They're opening their heart to that gospel. That's the good news. You possess the greatest news. Don't worry about that. You possess the greatest news of any people on earth. ISIL can't take that news from you. Terrorists cannot take that news from you. Governments cannot steal that news from you. Oh, dignitaries and political leaders cannot remove that news from you. The fact is, You possess the greatest news there is to know. And that's why when this service breaks and we go out these four walls, we ought to leave a step higher. We ought to be stepping a little bit higher than the world around us. Amen? You ought to smile a little bigger than the world around you. Amen? Come on, you say, I don't have much to smile about, Pastor. Yes, you do. If you've got Jesus, you've got everything to smile about. Quit acting like you lost your best friend, because your best friend lives inside of you. Amen. And I know that this is a time of year that people are depressed. I minister and I pray to a lot of people who suffer depression. And I'm not lessening the pain and the struggle and the fears you have. We all have them. Can I say something this morning? As a senior pastor, there are times in my life that it's almost like the enemy tries to overwhelm me with fear, uncertainties. Because from the mouths of the skeptics, they say, it can't be done and you can't do it. It'll never happen. Oh. But today, we have the good news. The good news. Everybody say the good news. How many need some good news? Stand to your feet. How many need some good news? Do you have the good news today? Do you have the? Are you convinced you have the good news? You know what? One of the brightest things that ought to canvas the landscape of Norton, Virginia this evening ought be the light that comes forth from people who know that good news. That nativity ought to light up. It ought to light up with a different kind of light. It ought to light up with the joy of Jesus. And if you don't have that joy, Jesus is your joy. Invite him into your heart today. This young man right here is going to be baptized. That's one of the greatest days in his life. We ought to be happy for him. Amen. There is nothing that ought to make the believer more excited than somebody coming to Jesus. I burn with a holy anger when I feel like people think those things are common. When holy moments like this are happening, when people are responding to the gospel, seeing people just, and I'm not trying to be mean here, when I see people just can't wait to get out and go to the steakhouse, but people responding to the gospel, man, we're missing something. We're missing something. Do you hear what I'm saying? There ought to be no better news than to see somebody come to Jesus. That ought to bring tears of joy. That ought to bring a swelling heart of peace to you. That somebody came to Jesus. That is what I want my mission to be about. To see the lost saved. Every day. Every day to see the lost saved. So everybody say joy. I want you to remember this always. And if I never preach another message in front of you, I want you to remember this always. Jesus is the reason for your joy. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus first. Everybody say Jesus first. It can't be you first. It's got to be Jesus first. It can't be your plans first. It's got to be Jesus' plans first. It can't be what you want first. It's got to be what Jesus wants first. Everybody say Jesus first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those other things that he knows you need will be given unto you. He'll take care of you, friend. That's what he is. He'll take care of you. He's a true shepherd. He'll love you and he'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. Jesus first. Then Jesus said, love others as yourself. Put others today. You know what can help relieve the stress and the pressures of Christmas? Running here and there, finding packages, fulfilling all the lists. Listen, I've done all that. I've done that. I used to think that somebody got me a gift, I had to go in and get them an extra one because they got me two and I had to go get them three. That's not what Jesus is about. The gift of God that lives in your heart. Jesus first, others second. Everybody say others. Love others this Christmas. Love people. Love them. Love them beyond their smells, beyond their peculiarity. Love them beyond their strangeness. Love them. Just love people. Man, when it gets you intoxicated. I'll be like Job. Job was healed when he started reaching outside of Job and praying for others. Job found healing. And the best days of Job's life was at the end, even after losing all that he lost. And they say others. Love others. Say it with me. Love others. Love your neighbor, friend. Ooh, I can't stand my neighbor. I didn't say you had to like what they do, but you got to love them, right, Josh? You got to love them as peculiar as they are, as irritating as they are to you, as disturbing as they may be, you got to love them. Love others. And your love will cover a multitude of their sins. Then say yourself. And they say yourself. And I believe the majority of these people in this room here are about loving Jesus. I believe you're about loving others. And I believe you're about putting yourself last. I know that for a fact. I know that. I love you, Brother Henry. You're a blessing. You're a gift from God, friend. God sent you and your little family all the way from over in the mountains of Hayside, Virginia, where the sun hardly shines over there, but where the sun always shines, amen? So this is what I'm going to ask you to do this morning before we leave in here today. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is going to give you a response, an opportunity to respond to the gospel. The good news. The good news is that Jesus came. He was born of a woman, young virgin woman. He lived among us. Oh, we have his life, none like it. And Jesus died, none like it. Jesus was buried. He rose again. He lives among us, and he's coming again. Are you looking for his coming? I know some of us are looking for Santa Claus, but are you looking for Jesus? He may come before the reindeers come. He may come before the jolly old elf come down the closet. The next great event, Josh Sturgill, may be the coming of the Lord where you're called up. Are you ready? Are you ready? Heads bowed. You say, Pastor, I'm not ready. Respond to the gospel today. Open your heart to Jesus. If you're here today and you need to open your heart to Jesus, lift your hand with mine and say, Pastor R, I want to be ready. God bless that hand. Anyone else? God bless that hand. Anybody else? Be real honest with yourself right here today. I'm going to respond to the good news. The good news that Jesus is here today and he's speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit is here working among us. Lift your hand today and you need to respond in any way. You're here, you're carrying a load. You're carrying sorrow and burdens on your heart. You can't really enjoy the season because you're overwhelmed by grief, by pain. God bless you. Thank you for being honest today. You're overwhelmed by sorrow and sadness and hardships. Slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. I'll be honest with you. Lift your hand really high with me and keep it up in the air, okay? Keep it up in the air. We're getting ready to come right now. Who else? Who else could slip your hand up with mine? Come on. Come on. I want you to have the best Christmas you've ever had in your entire existence. Lift your hand with mine and say, Pastor, I need to come and lay some stuff down. One. When I get to three, I want everybody to raise your hand to come. Two, three, I want you to come to the Lord right now. Come, respond right now. Just come and lay your burden down. Come on, lay your burdens down. Lay your burdens down. The good news is, come on, respond to the good news. Open your heart. Open your heart. Open your life. Come on, believers. Come on, everybody here that knows Jesus. Come on, let's be thrilled today that Jesus lives in our heart. Come on, there's room at the altar. There's room at the altar. Just push your way through. Just come on. Just come. Just come. Just come. I know you're burdened and you're heavy laden. Jesus says, come and cast your cares upon Him. Come on. Come to Jesus. Come on. Come to Jesus. Some people up here helping minister at the altar. Come on, guys.
Stand and
what are you waiting on? Santa Claus, come on. Come on.
Child of God. Child of God.
I'm not going to respond. It wasn't my message. Yes, it was your message. Yes, it was. Children of God, come on, worship.
I'm a slave to fear.
Oh, yeah.
I am a child of God.
Come on, there is children.